Osho, Vigyan Bhairav Tantra, Volume 2, The Book of the Secrets, A New Commentary, Discourse Number 5, given in Bombay, India.
Men can be considered in three ways. The normal, the abnormal, and the supernormal. Western psychology is basically concerned with the abnormal, the pathological. Men who have fallen down from the normal, who have fallen down from the norm. Eastern psychology, Tantra and Yoga, they consider man from the standpoint of the supernormal, one who has gone beyond the norm. Both are abnormal. One who is pathological is abnormal because he is not healthy. And one who is supernormal is also abnormal because he is more healthy than any normal human being. The difference is of negative and positive. Western psychology developed as part of therapy. Freud, Jung and Adler and other psychologists, they were treating the abnormal man, the ill man, mentally ill. Because of this, the whole Western attitude towards man has become erroneous. Freud was studying pathological cases. Of course, no healthy man would go to him. Only those who were mentally ill, they were studied by him. And on that study, he thought that now he understands man. Pathological men are not really men. They are ill. And anything based on their study is bound to be deeply erroneous and harmful. And it has proved harmful. Because man is looked from a standpoint, and a particular state of mind as is chosen, and that state is ill pathological. The whole image of man becomes disease based. Because of this attitude, the whole Western society has fallen down. Because the ill man is the base, the perverted has become the foundation. And if you look at the abnormal, you cannot conceive any possibility of supernormal beings. A Buddha is impossible for Freud. Not conceivable. It must be fictitious. Fiction. Myth. But a Buddha cannot be a reality. Freud has come in contact only with ill men who are not even normal. And whatsoever he says about normal men is based on the study of abnormal men. It is just like a physician studying. No healthy man will go to him. There is no need. And only unhealthy people come. And studying so many unhealthy people, he creates a picture in his mind of man. That picture is not of man. That cannot be. Because man is not only illnesses. And if you base your concept of man on illnesses, the whole society will suffer. Eastern psychology, particularly Tantra and Yoga, they also have a concept of man. But that concept is based on the study of supernormal. Buddha, Patanjali, Shankara, Nagarjuna, Kabir, Nanak, persons who have reached to the peak of human potentiality and possibility. The lowest has not been considered, but the highest. If you consider the highest, your mind becomes an opening. You can grow. Because now you know higher reaches are possible. If you consider the lowest, no growth is possible. There is no challenge. If you are normal, you feel happy, it is enough that you are not perverted, that you are not in a mental asylum. You can feel good. There is no challenge. But if you see the supernormal, the highest possibility that you can become, if someone has become that possibility, the possibility has become actual in someone, then a growth opens. You can grow. A challenge comes to you. And you need not be satisfied with yourself. Higher reaches are possible. And they are calling you. This must be understood deeply. Only then Tantra psychology will be conceivable. Whatsoever you are is not the end. You are just in the middle. You can fall down. You can rise up. Your growth has not finished. You are not the end product. You are just the passage. Something is growing constantly in you. Tantra indicates, thinks, conceives, bases the whole techniques on this growth possibility. And remember, unless you become that which you can become, you will not feel fulfilled. You must become that which you can become. It is a must. Otherwise, you will feel frustrated. You will feel meaningless. You will feel there is no purpose in life. You can carry on, but there can be no joy in it. And you may succeed in many other things, but you will fail with yourself. And this is happening. Someone becomes very rich. And everyone thinks now he has succeeded. Except himself, everyone thinks he has succeeded. He knows the failure, that he has failed. Wealth is there, but he has failed. You see, a great man, a leader, a politician, everyone thinks they have succeeded and they have failed. This world is strange. You succeed in everyone's eyes except your own. People come to me daily. They say, we have got everything. Now what? We are failures. Where they have failed, as far as outward things are concerned, they have not failed. But why they feel this failure? Their inner potentiality has remained potential. They have not flowered. What Maslow calls, they have not achieved self-actualization. They are failures, inner failures. And ultimately, what others say is meaningless. What you feel is meaningful. If you feel you are a failure, others may think you are a Napoleon or a Alexander the Great. Makes no sense. Rather, it depresses you more. Because everyone thinks you are a success. And now you cannot say that you are not. And you know you are not. You cannot deceive yourself. As far as self-actualization is concerned, you cannot deceive. Sooner or later, you will have to fall upon yourself and look deeply what has happened. The life is wasted. You have given up the opportunity and gathered things which mean nothing. Self-actualization means what is the highest peak of your growth, where you can feel a deep content that, no, this is my destiny. This is what I was meant for. This is what I was here on earth. Tantra is concerned with that self-actualization. How to help you grow more? And remember, it is concerned with you, not with ideals. Tantra is not concerned with ideals. It is concerned with you, as you are and as you can become. The difference is great. All moral teachings are concerned with ideals. They say, become like Buddha, become like Jesus, become like this or that. They have ideals. And you have to become like those ideals. Tantra has no ideal for you. Your unknown ideal is hidden within you. It cannot be given to you. You are not to become Buddha. There is no need. One Buddha is enough. And no repetition is of any value. Existence is always unique. It never repeats. Repetition is boredom. Existence is always new, eternally new. So even a Buddha is not repeated. Such a beautiful phenomena left unrepeated. Why? Because even if a Buddha is repeated, that will create boredom. What is the use? Only the unique is meaningful. Copies are not meaningful. If you are first hand, only then your destiny is fulfilled. If you are second hand, you have missed. So Tantra never says, be like this or that. There is no ideal. Tantra never talks about ideals. Hence the name Tantra. Tantra always talks about techniques. never about the ideal. It says how you can become. It never says what. Because of that how, technique, tantra means technique. The very word tantra means technique. It is concerned how you can become. What? It is not concerned. That what will be supplied by your growth. You just use the techniques and your inner potentiality will become by and by actual. The uncharted possibility will become open. And as it opens, you will realize what it is. And no one can say what it is. Unless you become, no one can predict what you can become. So tantra gives you only techniques, never ideals. This is the difference from all moral teachings. Moral teachings always give ideals. Even if they talk about techniques, those techniques are always for particular ideals. Tantra gives no ideal to you. You are the ideal. And your future is unknown. From the past, no ideal can be of any help because nothing can be repeated. And repeated, it is meaningless. Zen monks say that remember and be alert. In your meditations, if you meet the Buddha, kill him immediately. Don't allow to stay him there. And Zen monks are Buddha's followers. And they say, kill Buddha immediately if you meet him in your meditation. Because the personality, the ideal of Buddha, may become so hypnotizing, you may forget yourself. And if you forget yourself, you have missed the path. Buddha is not the ideal. You are the ideal, your unknown future, hidden. That has to be discovered. Tantra gives you techniques of discovery. The treasure is within you. So remember this second thing. It is very difficult to believe that you are the ideal. Difficult for yourself to believe. Because everyone is condemning you. No one accepts you, not even you yourself. You go on condemning yourself. You always think in terms of someone else to be like that. That is false, dangerous. If you go on thinking like that, you will become a fake person. And everything will be phony. Do you know from this, from where this word phony comes? It comes from telephone. In the beginning, the transmission of the telephones was so false, unreal, that the real voice and the phony voice heard from a telephone, mechanical, and the realness was lost just in the beginning days. From that comes the word phony. If you are imitating someone else, you will become phony. You will not be real. A mechanical device will be all around you, and your reality and your real voice will be lost. So don't be phony. Be real. Tantra believes in you. That's why there are so few believers of Tantra, because no one believes in himself. And Tantra believes in you. And Tantra says you are the ideal. And don't imitate anyone. Imitation will create a pseudo-personality around you. And you can go on moving with that pseudo-personality, thinking it is yourself. It is not. Second thing to remember is that there is no ideal fixed. You cannot think in terms of future. You can think only in terms of the present and just the immediate future in which you can grow. No fixed future is there. And it is good that there is no fixed future, otherwise there will be no freedom. If there is fixed future, man will be a robot. You have no fixed future. You have multi possibilities. You can grow in many ways. But only thing that will give you ultimate contentment is that you grow. And grow in such a way that every growth produces further growth. That's why techniques are helpful, because they are scientific and you are saved from unnecessary wandering, unnecessary groping. If you don't know any technique, you will take many lives. You will reach the goal, because the life energy within you will move unless it comes to the point where no movement is possible, to the highest peak. It will go on moving. That's the reason why one goes on being born again and again. Left to yourself, you will reach it. But you will have to travel very, very long. And the journey will look very tedious and boring. With a master, with scientific techniques, you can save much time, opportunity, energy. And sometimes within seconds, you can grow so much that within lives even, you may not be able to grow. If a right technique is used, the growth explodes. And these techniques have been found in millions of years experiments. They were not devised by one man. They were devised by many, many seekers. Only the essence is given here. And in these techniques, all the techniques have been covered from all over the world. Nowhere exists any technique which is not covered in these 112. This is the whole spiritual search in essence. But all the techniques are not for everyone. So you will have to try. Only certain techniques will be of help to you. And you will have to find out. There are only two ways. Either you try on your own, then trial and error. Then you stumble upon something. It starts working, you start growing, and then you move in it. Or you surrender to some teacher, and then he finds out what will suit you. These are the two ways. You can choose. Now, the technique. First technique. Consider your essence as light rays from center to center up the vertebra, and so rises livingness in you. Many yoga methods are based on this. First understand what it is, then the application. The vertebra, your backbone, the spine, is the base of your body and mind both. Your mind, your head, it's just the end part of your spine. The whole body is rooted in the spine. If the spine is young, you are young. If the spine is old, you are old. If you can keep your spine young, oldness will be difficult. Everything depends on your spine. If your spine is alive, you will have a very brilliant mind. If the spine is dull and dead, you will have a dull mind. So the whole yoga tries in many ways to make your spine alive, brilliant, filled with light, young and fresh. The spine has two ends. The beginning is the sex center. And the end is Sahasrara. The beginning of the spine is attached to earth. And sex is the most earthly thing in you. From your spine's beginning center, the first center, you are in contact with nature. What Sancha has called Prakriti, the earth, the material. From the last center or the second pole of the spine, which is Sahasrara in the head, you are in contact with the divine. These are two poles of your existence. First is sex, and second is Sahasrara. There is no word for Sahasrara in English. These are the two poles. Either your life will be sex-oriented or Sahasrara-oriented. Either your life energy will be flowing down from the sex center to the earth base, or your energy will be released from the Sahasrara into the cosmos. From the Sahasrara, you flow into Brahma, into the absolute existence. From sex, you flow down into the relative existence. And these are two flows and two possibilities. Unless you start flowing upwards, your misery will never end. You may have glimpses of happiness, but only glimpses and very illusory. When the energy starts moving upwards, you will have more and more real glimpses. And once it reaches Sahasrara and is released from there, you have the absolute bliss with you. That is Nirvana. Then there is no glimpse, you become the bliss itself. So the whole thing for yoga and tantra is how to help the energy move upwards through the vertebra through the spinal column. How to help it go against gravitation. Sex is very easy because it follows gravitation. The earth is pulling everything down, back. Your sex energy is being pulled by the earth. You may not have heard, but astronauts have felt this, that the moment they move beyond earth gravitation, they don't feel much sexuality. As the body loses weight, sexuality is dissolved, disappears. The earth is pulling your life energy down. And it is natural because the life energy comes from the earth. You are eating food, creating life energy within you. It is coming from earth, and the earth is pulling it back. Everything goes to its source. And if this moves in this way, life energy going back again and again, you are moving in a circle. You will go on moving for lives and lives, and you can go on moving infinitely. Unless you take a jump, just like astronauts, you take a jump and you move beyond this circle, and the pattern of the earth gravitation is broken. It can be broken. And the techniques are here, how it can be broken and how the energy moves vertical, rises up within you, reaches new centers, reveals new energies within you, makes you a new person with every move. And the moment it is released from your sahasrara, the opposite pole of sex, you are no more man. You don't belong to this earth. You have become divine. That's what is meant by when we say Krishna is God or Buddha is God. Their bodies are just like you. Their bodies will have to die. Their bodies fall ill. And everything happens to their bodies as it happens to you. Only one thing is not happening to their bodies as it happens to you. The energy has broken the gravitation pattern. But that you cannot see. That is not visible to your eyes. But you can feel, sometimes sitting in by the side of a Buddha, suddenly you feel an upsurge of energy within you, and your energy starts moving upwards. Only then you know that something has happened. Even in contact with a Buddha, your energy moves upwards towards the sahasrara. A Buddha is so powerful that even earth is less powerful. Cannot gravitate your energy downwards. Those who have felt this around someone, a Jesus, a Buddha, a Krishna, they have called them gods. They have a different source of energy which is stronger than the earth. How this pattern can be broken? This technique is very useful. You can break the pattern. Understand something basic. One, if you observe at all, you must have observed, your sex energy moves with imagination. It is imaginative. Just through imagination, your sex center starts functioning. Really, without imagination, it cannot function. That's why if you are in love with someone, it functions better. because with love imagination enters. If you are not in love, it is very difficult. It will not function. That is one of the reasons male prostitutes were not found in the old days, only women prostitutes. Because it is difficult for a male prostitute if he has no love, and how can he can have any love? Just because of money. You can pay to a man to have intercourse with you, but if he has no imagination for you, he cannot function. Women can function because their sex is passive. Really, their functioning is not needed. They may be totally detached. They may not be at all feeling. Their body may just be there as a corpse, and it is there as a corpse. With a prostitute, you are not making love with a real body. It is a dead corpse. But women could be prostitutes easily. Their sex is passive. Sex center functions through imagination. That's why even in dream, you can get erections, ejaculations. So accuse. Dream is just imagination. It has been observed now that every man, if physically fit, will have at least 10 erections in the night. With every movement of the mind, a slight thought of sex and the erection will come. Your mind has many energies, many faculties. One is will. You cannot will sex. Will is important for sex. So if you try to love someone, you will feel you have gone impotent. So never try. Will never function with sex. Only imagination will function. Imagine. And the center starts functioning. Why I'm emphasizing this fact? Because if imagination helps the energy to move, then you can move it upwards or downwards just by imagination. You cannot move your blood by imagination. You cannot do anything else in the body by imagination. But sex energy can move through imagination. And then you can change the direction. This sutra, consider your essence as light rays. Think yourself, your being, as light rays. From center to center up the spine, and so rises livingness in you. Yoga has divided your spine in 7 centers. The first is the sixth center, the last is Sahasrara, and between these two there are 5 centers. Some systems divide in 9, some in 3, some in 4. Division is not very meaningful. You can make your own division. Just 4 centers are enough to work. First, the sex center. Second, just behind the navel. Third, just behind the heart. Fourth, just behind your 2 eyebrows, just between on your forehead. And the 5th, Sahasrara, just on the peak of your head. These five will do. This sutra says, consider yourself, means imagine yourself, close your eyes and imagine yourself just as if you are light. And this is not just imagination. In the beginning it is reality also. Because everything consists of light. Now science says everything consists of electricity. And Tantra has always been saying everything consists of light particles. You also. That's why Quran says God is light. You are light. Just imagine first that you are just light rays. Then move your imagination to the sex centers. Concentrate there. And feel that from sex center light rays are rising upwards. As if sex center has become a source of light. And light rays are moving in an upsurge upwards. Towards the navel center. Division is needed because it will be difficult for you to connect sex center with Sahasrara. So smaller divisions will be of help. If you can connect, no divisions are needed. You can just drop all divisions from your sex center. Energy, life force as light rising up towards the Sahasrara. But divisions will be helpful. Because your mind can conceive smaller fragments more easily. So just feel from your sixth center to your navel, energy is rising upwards as a river of light. Just light rays. And you will feel immediately a warmth rising in you. Soon your navel will become hot. You can even feel that hotness. Even others can feel that hotness. With your imagination, the sex energy has started rising. When you feel now the second center at the navel has become a source of light, rays are coming and being collected, accumulated there, then start to this next, to the heart center. As light will reach to your heart center and rays will be coming, your heart beats will change. Your breathing will become deeper. And a warmth will come to your heart. Go on upwards. Consider your essence as light rays from center to center up the vertebra, and so rises livingness in you. And as you will feel warmth, just side by side you will feel a livingness, a new life coming to you, an inward life rising up. Sex energy has two parts. One is physical, another is psychic. In your body, everything has two parts. Just as your body and mind. Everything in you has two parts. One material, another spiritual. Sex energy has two parts. The material is semen. It cannot rise upwards. There is no passage for it. And because of this, many physiologists of the West have denied completely that Tantra and yoga methods are nonsense. Because how sex energy can rise up? There is no passage. It cannot rise. And they are right, and it's still wrong. Semen, the material part, cannot rise. But that is not the whole of it.